السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. تقبل الله أعمالكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، سيما سيدنا ومولانا وقائدنا الإمام الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. So tonight's personality and tonight's character is one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who used to be Jewish and then she converted to Islam when she saw the Prophet. And when she saw how the Prophet was forgiving and compassionate and merciful and kind to people around him, including prisoners of war. This lady's name is Safiya. Safiya bintu Hayy ibn Akhtab. Hayy ibn Akhtab. And she is originally from the tribe of Bani Nadir, a well-known Jewish tribe, one of the three main Jewish tribes in Medina and the surroundings. She was born in the city of Medina, and after 52 years she died again in the city of Medina, and she was buried in the cemetery of the Baqi', where in the same corner where the wives, most of the wives of the Prophet, are buried, except Khadija, who was buried in Mecca. She converted to Islam at the age of 18. And her father was a leader in the Jewish community. There were three major tribes in Medina and outside Medina. These three tribes were Banu Nadir, where this lady is from, and they are the descendants of a prophet Harun, Aaron, the brother of Moses. The second tribe, Banu Qurayza, and the third one, Banu Qaynaqa. So three Jewish tribes who were in Medina before, and in Yathrib, before the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And when the Prophet came and he established his society, the new Islamic society, he invited people to accept Islam, but he did not use force against anyone. It was only a friendly invitation that this is a new religion. I am continuing the path, the message of previous prophets, previous messengers. I am continuing the path of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus. I am the messenger, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum. I am the messenger of God to all communities. So many accepted the invitation, converted to Islam. Others, they said, we are not interested in Islam. We are happy with our own religion. The Prophet said, that's fine. That's fine, there is no forced conversion. But let's have friendly relationship, peaceful relationship between us. So some of them agreed to this deal of the Prophet to have good relationship, peaceful relationship, and some of them would not. They were unhappy that there is a Prophet coming from Arabia. They expected that the last prophet is from the community of the Israelites. Though the book, their book, says that the last prophet is going to be of the descendants of Ishmael from Mecca. But it was hard for them to accept. It's look today at the Democratic Party and Republican Party. If someone elects, let's say, someone from the Democrat, the Republican would not accept that, even if that person is the best person, because there is partisanship. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Every religion, every tribe, every political and religious denomination, they want to see someone from them leading the community. This is not something new, neither something old. This happened during the course of the history of mankind. So it was hard for them to accept this reality. And therefore there were skirmishes and conspiracies and conflict between the Muslim community and the Jewish community. In the year 6th of the Hijrah, the Prophet signed a peace treaty, a very important peace treaty with Quraysh. Because the number of the, before that, Quraysh never even acknowledged Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Muslims. Never even acknowledged them. They ignored them. They said, you are illegitimate. We don't even recognize you. You must go to hell. But then, when the number of the Muslims was on the rise, and their significance was on the rise, Quraysh had to accept the reality. So here, they said, we are okay with signing a peace treaty with the Prophet. So they signed that peace treaty between Mecca and Medina in an area called Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah. When they signed this peace treaty, that there is no war between them. There is ceasefire for at least 10 years. No war between them. And Muslims can go back now to Medina because they were on their way to Mecca to perform Umrah. Quraysh said, you can't come. No Muslims is allowed to come to Mecca. The Prophet said, okay, we will go back, but next year we come. They said, okay, next year you may come. So Muslims would be able to go to Mecca to perform the Umrah. Non-Muslims can come to Medina to do business, and they have to respect each other. A very important peace treaty. That happened in the 6th year of the Hijrah. But then, because this Jewish tribe north of Medina, which is about 150 kilometers, about 90 miles, I've been to Khaybar. I've been with my family, with a group of our mosque. We went to see Khaybar, and we saw the castle of Khaybar, Qal'at Khaybar, we saw it there at the top of the hill, fresh, as if this castle was built yesterday. But it is off limit because the Saudis does not want you to go and discover the history of Islam, especially when it involves the history of Ahlul Bayt and Imam Ali. They want to hide these monuments. It is ironic that they accepted us to go because we were holding American and Canadian passports and British passports. So if you are non-Arab, then you are allowed to go. But if you carry a Muslim passport, one of the Islamic countries, haram, bid'ah, don't go. So I guess this is one of the advantages of having American passport, alhamdulillah. Therefore, I encourage you to go and become national citizens. So you can enjoy some rights, not only in America, but in Saudi Arabia and Emirat too. So, this community, they posed a threat to Islam. So the Prophet decided to go and have a dialogue with them and talk to them. But they were defensive. So the Prophet dispatched 1,600 fighters on the year 7th, during the month of Muharram, of 7th Hijrah. And the Prophet said, لا يخرجن أحد منكم illa lil-jihad. Those who are going to go, they should not have in their mind that they go for ghanima, war booties. If you have this in your mind that you are going with this excursion to make money, to raid this tribe and plunder their wealth, their money, then don't go. But if you have in your mind to defend your community, then you are welcome to go. لا يخرجن أحد منكم لا يخرجن معنا إلا راغب في الجهاد. Those who really have desire to defend the Muslim community. So they arrived at Khaybar, but Khaybar had very, very fortified bastions and defenses, the Muslims were unable to cross these defense lines that was fortified and made and established by the Jewish community to defend their castle and their community. So this castle was under siege for almost 3 weeks. And Muslims, as usual, they were hungry. They were poor people. They did not have supplies with them. They had limited food with them. So they were starving. At the end, the Prophet decided that we have to conquer this castle, the Qal'a, Husnu Khaybar, Qal'atu Khaybar. So he gives the standard to Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa, and he says, "Ya Abu Bakr, you take a group of the companions and try your best to conquer the castle." Abu Bakr arrived at the castle, and probably he did his best, God knows, but he was unsuccessful. So he came back, history says, important books of history, Islamic history says, يُجَبِّنُ أَصْحَابَهُ وَيُجَبِّنُونَهُ. Each one blaming each other. He's telling his companions, "You are jaban, coward." And they are blaming him for that. The following day, the Prophet sent Umar ibn al-Khattab. He gave him the standard, the raya, and he said, you go and you do the job for us. Again, Umar took off with the Islamic army with him, the soldiers, and he stood at the castle. The castle is not easy to conquer. You have to climb. If you go today, you will see the castle is not on a plain field. You have to climb a mountain, and it is at the top of the mountain. It's not easy to climb it. And then the Jewish community were defending their castle, so they will shoot their arrows at the Muslim soldiers. And it's not easy to defend yourself against their arrows, against their attacks. So again, Umar could not do a good job. He came back, يُجَبِّنُ أَصْحَابَهُ وَيُجَبِّنُونَهُ. Each one blaming each other for the failure. Here, when two attempts were failed, the Prophet said, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ كَرَّارًا غَيْرَ فَرَّارٍ. I'm going to give the standard bearer to a man, the standard to a man, that tomorrow morning, to a man that he loves God and his apostle, and God and his apostle love him. كَرَّارًا, كَرَّار, the one who moves forward. He doesn't know how to reverse. He always move forward. غَيْرَ فَرَّار, he doesn't flee the battlefield. لَا يَرْجَع, he would not come back tomorrow. حَتَّى يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ, he would not come back until God will grant him victory on his hand. So in the morning, people were you know, vying for this, aspiring that the Prophet is going to say, Hajj Fulan, Brother Fulan, Sheikh Fulan, you are going to be. Many of them did not sleep that night. If you read the history, they say many of the companions, they were anticipating who's this man is going to be. That the Prophet appraised him last night. And he said he's not going to be defeated. He's going to conquer this castle. Who this man is going to be? The second caliph says, though he was not successful in his attempt, but still he said, مَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْإِمَارَةَ إِلَّا يَوْمَئِذٍ. I'm telling you the exact. I memorized these sentences by heart for the last 40 years. مَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْإِمَارَةَ. I never loved presidency and leadership to be emir, the commander of the army, إِلَّا يَوْمَئِذٍ. Except that day, because of the praise of the Prophet to the commander. يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. This is, no praise is above this, is better than this praise. Many people did not sleep that night. In the morning at Fajr prayers, when the Muslims used to pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet, he said, where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? They said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Ali is resting because he has severe eye infection. Ramad in Arabic is called Ramad. Severe eye infection. So he's resting. He can't even open his eyes. He's in pain. The Prophet said, bring him. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are telling you he's resting. Leave him alone. The Prophet said, bring him to me. So Ali came, could not walk on that day. He was leaning on two people on that day. They brought him to the Prophet. فَأَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيقِهِ. The Prophet took some of his saliva. And he wipes the eyes of Ali. فَبُرِئَتَ وَفُتِحَتَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. An immediate cure and remedy. A miracle. A miracle. When Isa alayhi salam stands on a grave and says to the dead who is 6 feet down, he says, قُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And he resurrects the dead. He resurrects the deaf, the mute, the blind. The Prophet is not less than Isa alayhi salam. Prophet Muhammad, he is Khatamul Anbiya. He is Habibullah. So the Prophet said to him, Ya Ali, this is the standard. You take it and you go to this castle and I am waiting for the good news. So Ali took off, young man, energetic, his mid-20s, just like many of you here sitting, going to the gym every day, mashallah. We see you going to the gym, building your muscles. Ali did not go to the gym. Ali would carry the sword, taking the sword and the shield, you know, and going to the battlefield was his gym was the battlefield, real battlefield. This was his exercise. So he took off. When Ali arrived, of course, they can look from above. One of them said, one of the army leaders who was looking, when he saw Ali carrying the standard, he asked him, he shouted, what is your name? Ali said, Ana Ali ibn Abi Talib, introduced himself. That Jewish leader said, he turned to his community, he said, غُلِبْتُمْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُوسَى. You are defeated today. I swear by the Torah that came down upon our Prophet Musa. If Ali is coming, then khalas. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha مع الصلاة على محمد وعلى محمد. محمد وعلى محمد. And this is exactly what happened. Imam Ali asked them to surrender. They refused. They started throwing their arrows. But Ali went to the gate of the castle. You can see it today. I saw it and I took pictures of that gate. At that time, we did not have iPhones. This story is 20 years ago. Less than 18 years ago. So we had normal cameras. So I zoomed in and I took a picture of the gate. The gate is huge. The gate is not a normal gate. It's a gate to a castle. Usually a gate to the castle is abnormal. It's a huge. And that, it has two doors, and Ali alayhi salam was able with one arm to take off the door, to pull it with one arm, and he threw it away, several feet away from the castle. And then of course the Muslims, they burst into the castle, and there was a confrontation between two Jewish military leaders. One of them is Al-Harith, who was killed by the sword of Ali, and the second, who was the main commander of that nation and castle, and that is Marhab, the famous Jewish leader Marhab, that he confronted Imam Ali, and Imam Ali cuts him into two pieces within a matter of seconds, and everything collapses, and the Muslims enter that castle, and then Ali comes back. Of course, the Prophet was watching from afar. The Muslim community, the rest of them, were watching from afar, and they heard the news. So many of the people there were taken as prisoners of war. The rest of the community, when those two military leaders were killed, there were no bloodshed. They surrendered. The rest of the army, the rest of the community, whether they are military personnel or civilians, they immediately surrendered. And the Prophet accepted their surrenderance, and he made peace with them. صالحهم رسول الله. صالح means he made peace with them. As a result of that, the neighboring community of Fadak, Khaybar is next to Fadak, not too far from Fadak. Fadak again, another land, another agriculture community that lived not far from Khaybar. When they heard the news that this important fortified bastion was collapsing at the hand of Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Muslim army, immediately they declared, they surrendered, and the Prophet declared ceasefire with both communities. So alhamdulillah, there were no bloodshed there, only with minimal damage. And of course, the Muslims, they took the rest of the people as prisoners of war. Among them was Safiya bint Hayy ibn Akhtab, who was married twice. Her second husband killed in the Battle of Khaybar. So when she was brought to Medina, خيرها رسول الله, gave her a choice between releasing her and going back to Khaybar, to her community, or between accepting Islam and staying in Medina. This is what she said. She said, Ya Rasulullah, before the conquest of Khaybar, I saw a dream, amazing dream. I saw there was a star falling in my lap. So in the morning, I asked my cousin was a scholar, a learned person. I came up to him and I said to him, I saw this dream. Can you interpret this dream to me? He slapped me. فَلَطَمَنِي عَلَى وَجْهِي. First he slapped me out of anger. He said, you are going to marry someone important from Yathrib, the city of Yathrib. Imagine, she's in Khaybar. Yathrib is about 150-60 kilometers to the south. This man made the right interpretation. You're going to marry a man from Yathrib. So the Prophet gave her the choice. Do you want to stay here or you want to go back? We will release you and go back in an honorable way. Go back to your community. She said, Ya Rasulallah, لقد هويت الإسلام. هويت from هوى. I am desiring Islam. I fall in love. Basically, this is what she said. I fall in love with Islam. وَاللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, the Lord and His Apostle, which is you, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الْعَوْدَةِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ, it's much better for me than going back to my community. فَأَعْتَقَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَتَزَوَّجَهَا. The Prophet released her from captivity and he married her. Why the Prophet married her? Because the Prophet wanted to honor her. Marriage at that time, marriage, my friends, today it might have a different meaning. At that time, one of the forms of honoring someone and respecting someone is to marry her or marry him or marry his daughter or her daughter, okay? Or marry his son or her son. It was a form of honoring someone. And this is why when the Prophet married a lady who was previously Christian or atheist or polytheist or Jewish, then he is according them and granting them honor and respect. And also the Prophet had something else in his mind, to open channels of communication with the Jewish community, to show them that Islam is not against your religion. Islam is not against your book. Islam is not against Musa or Harun or the prophets of the Israelites or Bani Israel. It's not against you. It is the continuation. This is the continuation of that journey. And that would help when you marry the daughter of someone, when you marry from their tribe at that time. Don't look at marriage today. Today you might marry someone, but you don't like her father. You don't speak to her mother. This happens, mashallah, all the time. At that time, when you marry from a tribe, you are honoring the entire tribe. They become your in-laws. They defend you. They stand with you. So marriage at that time would expedite respect and appreciation between the people. And then when she married the Prophet, she was young, of course. Some historians say she was 18 years old. She loved the Prophet. She fell in love with his akhlaq, with his humility, with his mercy. And when the Prophet got sick, this is 4 years later, because this incident on the seventh year of the Hijrah, the Prophet died the beginning of the 11th, Safar, the second month of the 11th year, only probably 3 years and few months. She was very upset and very sad for the sickness of the Prophet. She was caring about the Prophet. She said, Ya Rasulallah, she came. لَوَدَدْتُ أَنَّ الَّذِي بِكَ بِي. I wish the sickness that you have, it comes to me. I become your ransom. I protect you from this sickness. One story about her. One day, when she was married to the Prophet, and they lived in one house. The Prophet, obviously, we all know that he had several wives from several backgrounds, several languages. I don't know how did they communicate in Arabic or other languages, I don't know. But different languages too. Maybe they learned Arabic because one of them comes from Coptic community. They didn't speak Coptics, they don't speak Arabic. The Jewish community, maybe some of them speak, some of them don't, and others. So they were living in one house. That house had several rooms. And at that time, it's not difficult to build an extension or a room. Today, you have to go to the city of Irvine, pay the fees, apply, and then it takes, you know, ages for the approval, whether they accept or they reject. The engineer has to come, the architect. You have to go live in a hotel for 6 months in order for you to build only one small extension. At that time, you are the architect, you are the mayor, you are the builder. There is no Home Depot. You go to the desert, you bring few, you know, bricks and rocks. And mud is available, alhamdulillah, balash, free of charge. And within a few hours, you can build a room, extension. And the room, of course, did not have a built-in bathroom or sanitation. Simple room. So they each lived in a room. But surprisingly, though they were all the wives of the Prophet, But they have different characters. Each one of them was different from the other. Each one of them was unique in her character. Some of them were calm, peaceful, accepting. They have qana'a, content. They really married the Prophet out of love in his message, in his book, in his role as the messenger of God. They married him because they wanted to help him, to stand with him, to support him. Others, they married, I don't know, God knows. We don't want to go into that subject every night. So they had different purposes, different objectives. And sometimes, or many times, according to the Quran, chapter 33, there were skirmishes between them. So one day, Safiya, she came to the Prophet, she said, Ya Rasulullah, Fulana and Fulana, go and find out about their names later on. They always, you know, demean me and they disrespect me and they say, Ya Bint al-Yahudiyya, you are the daughter of the Jews. And I get hurt, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said to her, Ya Safiya, go and tell them, what is wrong with me? My father, grandfather is Harun alayhi salam. My uncle, my am is Musa alayhi salam. And my husband is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَاذَا تُنْكِرَانِهِ مِنِّي? What is wrong with me? I come from an honorable background. This is my father, Harun. This is my uncle, Musa. This is my husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She died, history tells us, Safiya bint Hayy ibn Akhtab, died in the year 50. So this is almost 4 decades after the departure of her husband, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was honorably buried in the cemetery of Al-Baqi'. May Allah bless her soul. And may Allah allow us to see the family of the Prophet, himself, his face, inshallah, his children, his wives, his friends, his grandchildren, his good companions in paradise, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi'a allahumma baynana وبينهم بالخيرات اللهم تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا ودعاءنا في هذا الشهر العظيم. By the way, tonight is also the eve of the 25th, which is also considered one of the nights of Qadr. Same thing with 27th, the eve of the 27th, which is a Friday night. Same thing with the 29th, the eve of the 29th. So take some time to recite the dua and do istighfar during these few remaining nights of the month of Ramadan. Allahumma kun li waliyyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'ah waliyan wa hafidhan wa qa'idan wa nasiran wa dalilan wa 'aina hatta tuskinahu ardaka taw'a wa tumatti'ahu fiha tawila wa ila arwah al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat thawab al-fatiha مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد